prayer for them. Bless us each day, Lord. Be with Jonathan as he speaks today. And just share the message that you have for us. Today you have a message for us in several different ways, whether through Jonathan or through another person or through nature or just through your quiet voice in us. Thank you, Jesus. Under your name.
Morning, RGF. Public service announcement, the clicker appears to be missing. So if you've seen a clicker, please report it to the authorities. So. No, it's okay. Oh, really? Okay. Wow. Look at this. Backup clickers. This is a community coming to action. Call to action. Thank you very much. Oh, Charles said it's right there. So another way of calling to action is just solving the original problem. So thank you, Bruce, for that. All right. So really glad to be here. It's not my first time here. I've met a lot of you before. I'm Jonathan Lucas, but I am glad to be back. Did anybody see the testimonies this week by Mark Zuckerberg in Senate? Did you see a clip on the news? Or some people who have TVs available during their daytime hours might have seen it streaming on all the stations just because it's like popcorn theater, you know, the head of Facebook coming in and getting grilled for all of their bad behavior. Well, I just saw it, and I think I saw a meme that followed up because during the beginning of one of his testimonies, and by the way, when you testify to Senate, I mean, I've never done it, but so I've heard it's kind of a big deal. Because every word goes into the record. Literally, there's 100 million people seeing it, and you can also be called out if you misspeak. So it's kind of important. Anyway, I saw him getting prepared, and I saw him kind of going like this as he was starting. A little bit of an eyes wide open, and it was just chuckling because I was thinking, that's not going to be me at RGF. But I do need water. So, man, I'm so glad to be here. And I prepared a really simple and hopefully memorable message this morning. And it is about our journey together. So if I may, and I'm going to keep it short too. So in conclusion, let me back up just a minute. We'll come back to the conclusion if that's okay. No, but really it's a simple truth that we were designed for relationship. It's a simple truth. And being in this church, being in church, but this church, and being active in groups, it enriches your life and it enriches those around you. And it blesses them in a way that wouldn't happen if you were just going it alone. So that's sort of my conclusion, but we'll kind of build it up a bit. So this morning I'm going to talk about groups. That may not be a surprise. You've heard me say some of these things before, but I'm going to talk about groups, why we have them to begin with, okay, and why everyone at RGF should be a part of one. And there's a fair warning here. I'm going to be kind of on the nose with it because I just think it's so important. So don't be afraid if I'm making you, you know, think about it at the end and maybe calling you to do something. It's just me. So, no, I think it's really important for each of us to think about and also for our church as a whole. That's why I'm so fired up about it. But before I start talking about relationships, I just want to point out my credentials and the fact that you can trust me. After all, I am a professional relationship manager. That's my LinkedIn, in case you were wondering. So that's nothing to do with small groups at church, but I do know something about relationships. So based on that, just take every word I say at complete face value. No, actually, I want you to really think about what I'm talking about today and some of the Bible verses we're going to look at and think about what it means for you and also for our church. So strong relationships have always been part of RGF's DNA, right? I mean, I think everyone that's come here and it's new, that's been here for a while, we've talked about it, but it's also evident, especially on Sabbath morning. I mean, look at this place and look at how we rally together to help people that are in need. Practical things, you know, life-changing things, financial things, other things, right? So we come together. And what's also true is that as we've grown as a church, and we have, you know, we're about 115 members formally, praise God, we're not as integrated as we were when we were 25, right, or 40. And that was even before I was here, but so I'm told. Right, so that's it's important to know, but we want to be integrated, right? But the problem is we're just subject to the law of numbers, right? When you get to a certain size, it's just harder. We cannot maintain a sort of contact and close connection with more than a few people in a given hour or two, right? It's hard. So that's okay. Turns out we weren't designed to, you know, stay connected to 100 people or 200 people as closely as the next. Turns out that's actually God's job. He has a different design in mind, all right? And so, but with that in mind, with RGF specifically, I just wanted to review why we are even here. Why do we exist as a church? We've been talking about this, but if you wouldn't mind, just read this aloud with me, okay? Would you guys read with me just for a minute? Let's read it out loud. We believe that God is our friend, and we strive to bring beauty to our broken world by touching people's lives for good and inviting them to join us on our journey to a new world, a place where everyone is accepted, loved, given the opportunity to become everything God created them to be. I love this so much. I love knowing why we're here. And even though we articulated this into words recently, all that really did was help give us as a church focus. God knew why he helped start RGF. God was working in the hearts of those who were in the earliest days, long before they knew what was coming. I mean, as is always the case, God saw it coming a millennia in advance, right? I mean, so to speak. That's a whole area of theological discussion of what if I change things? How does he know if I'm going to change it? And if Bruce doesn't give me this clicker, you know, what's going to happen? I might think differently about Bruce, and I could have a different attitude, and that could change this and that, right? God knows. So we've articulated this recently, and that's important, but it just fires me up to think about all the people that God has already brought to us, into our lives, into our church, but also those coming into our lives, in our church, in our groups. So just a few essential points, and then an invitation. Okay. First of all, I think it's really important to know that group relationships, small groups, are just good design. So think about this with me. God's nature, as we know it, is totally unique. It blows everything else we can think of out of the water because he's described as being tri-personal. He's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. So, which is also known as the Trinity, right? And that's a whole interesting, fascinating concept. You could argue that's why he's a loving God, because he has love between the persons. I mean, there's so much in there. But really, all I'm saying is it probably makes sense then that his creation, us, desires relationship. That's how we were designed, right? Makes sense, I think, to me. And so we crave relationship because it's how we were designed. And I think there's an important principle there, which is basically that we see in the Bible time and time again, and I know in my own life and in many of your lives, the closer we get back to, whenever we turn towards how we were designed to operate, the happier we get. Have you seen that? Have you seen that in your own life? Whenever we move closer to how we were designed, we're happier. So, with that said, the next point is we all have a personal relationship with God, okay? I can't ask my wife or Jeff to go to God for me, right, Jeff? I mean, you're nice. You're a really nice guy, actually. One of my favorite nice guys, but, you know, I can't ask you to go to God for me and thank him for what he's done in my life. You know, even if you're a close friend in my group, right? I can't ask someone else to go to God and praise him or to confess my sins for me or to seek wisdom from God, right? That's an intensely personal thing. But God in many different places has said specifically and directed us to, you know, meet together, to go together, right? Here's just one example from Hebrews chapter 10. And if you want to look on screen, I've got it handy, but I'm going to look in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 through 25. So Hebrews chapter 10, 23 and 25. I think I'm not clicking. Would you help me out, Jared? Thanks. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope that we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. In some descriptions, it talks about outbursts of love, which I love. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, right? But encourage one another, especially now that his return is drawing near. This is one of many places in which just the design, you know, we're designed to be in relationships and groups. And although we have a personal relationship, we're encouraged to be together. There's good reason for this instruction, I think. It's because we're not made to live out our faith independently. I don't think that's how we're made. We tend to go awry when there's no community to help us carry our burden. We tend to go awry when there's no community to help us celebrate, amplify the good things and the joys that we have. We can run awry when there's no community to call out our nonsense. We all have nonsense. You know, we go off track, right? That's another part of being in the community. That's really important. And we tend to call people out pretty fast and pretty quickly around here. In fact, it's sometimes in very public forums on Sabbath morning when people are off track. But so with that in mind, I want to talk about 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This is something you may have read before, but it's really interesting, especially on this topic. It's highly relevant. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says, just as a body, though one, were many parts. A body has many parts, but all of its many parts form one body. And so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but many. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? The body metaphor is something that we can probably all understand because everyone who's listening to this anyway has a body. We understand you need every part to work. And it's strong. And that's actually something that I think helps us understand. I've got just a simple illustration to show how to kind of enforce the point. So if you wouldn't mind, Jared, just show that really briefly.
I'll think of you as I go. So when I leave, you're not alone. And no matter where we are, we will never be that far. Cause I will think of you as I go. Think of you as I dream. As I dream. So when it's dark, so when it's dark, you'll be with me. You'll be with me. And no matter where we are, we can look up to the stars. And I will think of you as I dream.
Oh, it's a long and winding road. You don't have to walk alone. Cause no matter where we are, I will keep you in my heart. And I will think of you as I go.
I'll think of you.
I'll think of you.
When I'm down.
When I'm down.
When my heart,
when my heart
is on the ground.
Is on the ground.
And I will never lose my way.
Lose
even
my way.
When the scars are gray. Cause I will think of you when I'm down.
Oh, it's a long and winding road. You don't have to walk alone.
Cause no matter where we are, I will keep you in my heart.
I will think
of you.
I love that. How could it? Did anybody here not smile? Raise your hand. Oh, did you? Who didn't smile? Mario? Okay. Just a hair check. You know, that's nice. That's beautiful, right? It makes you smile. It's a simple piece of art, right? It's just someone created that, but it really helps communicate a harmonious, beautiful thing. In this case, it's the music. It's the rhythm, right? That's like the body and the parts. Each hand, each voice is needed to do something a little bit different. Just doing the clapping would be interesting, but probably not worth a tip, right? Okay, good job. But with the music and all that together, it's something much, much bigger and much, much cooler than they ever were on their own. So that's really what we're speaking about in 1 Corinthians 12, and that principle of we are all one body. So with that said, another thing to take away from that is you're also not on your own. So what if the hands wanted to get with the voices, but the voices just were kind of, well, I don't really feel like it. Well, it wouldn't have been a cool video, for starters. It just wouldn't have been nearly as touching and as beautiful. There's so much potential there when everybody kind of is in, right? And so you're not on your own. I'm not on my own. You're not on your own, Melissa, right? Don't deny yourself from being involved and connected as much as you can. That's really what I'm saying. And don't deny your presence and experience and questions and journey from connecting with everyone else. We are all together, something much more beautiful than we are on our own. All right? So speaking of being a community, our church is a community. RGF is a community. Sabbath morning is a community in and of itself, right? We have a lot of us together. Probably the biggest time we ever get together is Sabbath mornings, generally. Sometimes some social events, right? But because these small groups, and the way we typically do small groups, they're designed to be smaller in size, right? This is probably really self-evident, but I just wanted to be real clear. Typically groups are sometimes with waivers, can be as small as 4 or 5, but typically between 5 and 15, right, somewhere in there. It depends on what you're doing, what the activity is. In a small group, so I've been told, you get to know people better than you might chatting for 5 minutes or 10 minutes on Sabbath morning, right? And this is a really unique experience. And that makes the journey a rich one. You know, you get to know people's hopes and dreams a little more, and it's just a great opportunity to do that. And also, they get to know you. So it's equally enriching for both parties. Another thing that's just kind of a benefit is because the groups meet regularly, fall in with the habits and traditions of that group. Well, you all probably know, we all know that the habits and traditions that we establish and keep as individuals, they affect us short term and long term. So when you're part of a group, it's a great opportunity to sort of inherit or adopt some habits and traditions with that group. That's just how we roll as people. That affects us and it kind of changes our lives for the better. And sometimes when we're in a larger group, like Sabbath, I mean, again, this is probably the most friendly atmosphere on earth, Sabbath morning at RGF. I can't think of a friendlier place. Okay, drop that. I can't. I mean, this is the best place. And then, to be honest, even sometimes it might favor people who are, you know, a little more gregarious and social. You feel like, if you're not one of those people who just feel like talking to people, you may kind of feel like, well, I don't want to, you know, get up and say, I like that guy, but I don't want to go say hi to him now. And, you know, so in a small group, it's a little easier. You don't have to feel like you got to go grab someone and just to connect, just to talk, just to share. There's so many beautiful things about our worship, and that's why our family comes as often as we possibly can. But groups are just a little bit different. It's complementary. Now, quick quiz question. Speaking of groups, does anybody know the size, the number of people in the first small group that Jesus formed? Bruce, you don't count. Anybody? You don't have to think too hard. Don't overthink it. Okay, come on. No one's going to raise their hand. I hear a bunch of numbers. 12, 12, 12, 12, 12.
Faith.
Faith got it, yeah. 12. You know, he chose 12. I'm sure he knew what he was doing. To say otherwise would be some sort of blasphemy or something, you know. He did that on purpose. Most things I found Jesus did, he did it with intention, which is a whole other interesting thing, but he did it on purpose, right? And it turns out, you know, for what it's worth, modern studies have shown that a group, that's kind of a sweet spot for just group dynamics. You can kind of get to know people, you can learn, you can do things together, you can be effective at almost anything in a group of that, approximately. So there's some really interesting things there to think about. So a couple quick things. I'm going to kind of give you guys an invitation in just a minute. It's going to be a really simple one, and I think everyone's going to enjoy it. But I just want to say that there sometimes people have some misconceptions about what a group really is. So, for example, groups are just for people who like to get together and talk and sort of gab about their life. Or groups are just focused on Bible study, and I have no chance to connect with other people. Or groups are just when I can never go because I'm busy, I work a lot. Right? There's schedule conflicts, legitimate things. And I'll just say right now, there's many different groups. Every group can have its own character because, as we just said, a group takes on the character and the habits and traditions of the people that are in the group. So we have some groups going on at RGF, but that doesn't mean that we can't figure something out if people would like to connect in a way that's helpful to them. Right? Don't accept reality as the way it always has to be. That's what I've learned. That's what I'm teaching Bridges, except when I'm giving him instructions. So, today, my invitation is really simple. I would like you to do one of these two things, and you do have to choose at least one. I think, have we locked the doors, Paolo? I think we actually have to lock the doors before you choose at least one. It's not a big deal, you just have to choose one. I would like you to visit a group on one of these days. We have a, there they are. There's upcoming groups, that's the next few weeks. Find a group, find a date and time that you think could work. If you don't think it could work, think about why it couldn't work, and then text me. Let me know. And I also, if you have any questions about what the groups are doing, text me. I just put one number to keep it simple. Some of you have my number, but a lot of you don't. Let me know, and I'll help get you connected. And I just think it's so important that as a community, that we are always helping each other. And sometimes the only way to do that is to connect with a group. It's something we really believe in. So that was the one option. You have to choose one of those, or let me know, and I'll help you organize a new one. So if you think, hey, you know, I've been thinking, it would be nice if we had a group that X, Y, Z, let me know. Let me know, and we can maybe get something going. We don't want to start a group for no reason. We don't want to start a group that would only last a couple weeks necessarily, but you never know what it might turn into. So think about it, add thought into it, and just text me, okay? So that's my invitation today, is to do one of those things, or both if you want. But you literally can't leave. I think, yeah, the doors are now locked. You have to choose a date and go, okay? In conclusion, did you hear this already? In conclusion, it's a really simple truth that we were designed for relationship, okay? And being in our church and being in groups, it enriches your life and it enriches those around you, all right? Don't go it alone. And as the band comes up, I just want you to think on that. Don't go it alone. This is our journey together, yeah? I'm so glad to be on it with you. Let's praise God a little bit more.
Stand and continue the worship. We're about to sing From the Inside Out, and I've sung this song for the past 10 years, and man, it never gets old. And I love the first verse. 1,000 times I've failed, still your mercy remains. Should I stumble again, still I'm caught in your grace. It just gives me goosebumps every time. It's so real. And because we're not perfect, but God's grace is always there. And I can just sing this a million times. So let's sing this together. Let's worship our God together.
Times I've failed, so your mercy remains. Should I stumble again, still I'm caught in your grace. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond. Consume me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice and grace become my embrace. To love you from the inside out.
Never ending. You're
Father God, thank you so much for this moment, these precious moments together in worship. Thank you for giving us the chance. Thank you for getting us here this morning. Thank you for taking care of our schedule so that we could come and participate in the community that you're active in, working in all of our lives in different ways. Help us continue to embrace that truth, that you are active and that you're making us something much more beautiful than we could ever be on our own. This is your vision, and you've chosen to create us this way, where we need each other and we need you, and you've put us together for good. Father, we are thinking right now about your glory and your light that will shine when all else fades. We see that moment in our eyes when you return, as you have promised, in the same way that you left this earth. And we look forward to that, God. So as we wrap up our service this morning, let's have that fresh in our minds. And let us have that be a motivation for us as we go and have lunch, as we go and spend time with family and friends, and as we see people who are not connected to RGF, are not part of our community yet. Let's figure out, with your guidance, how to reach them as well. In Jesus' name, amen.